So, Lord Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. And we honor you, Jesus. We honor our mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to turn our Bibles as we stand on our feet, as our custom is, for the reading of the word. Let's turn first to Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Skip around a little bit. And then we'll end up in the end of this book. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin at Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Praise God. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Skip to verse 8. Matthew 2, verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently, speaking of King Herod, speaking to the wise men, seeking diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Look at verse 13 now. And when they were departed, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, because Herod didn't come to worship him. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. Matthew 27 and verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I want to preach this morning to you, what shall we do with Jesus? We're either going to worship him or we're going to kill him. That's it. There is no other option. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to worship him? Or are you going to kill him? There is no other option. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are in your presence. We are standing on holy ground. And I'm asking you to arrest our attention. There are things that would love to distract us from the prophetic and the revelatory word of the Lord. But I'm praying that we all would be in a position to receive what you have to say. Because I believe that we receive it and respond to it. Power is going to be released in this house. Miracles, signs, and wonders are today. They are for a people that know who you are and are going to receive what you came to do. We are in the midst of a people that are not here to fill a time slot, but we are people that want the will of God to unfold right now in our midst. And I pray before this service is over, our minds will be made up that I've come to worship him. And there won't be any doubt in my mind or anybody else's on why I'm here in the house of the Lord. And let your will be done and speak clearly your word, I ask, in the matchless name of Jesus. And if you come to worship the Lord, why don't you clap your hands right now and lift your voice maybe with a hallelujah, with a thank you, Jesus, with a speech of my heart, that your will be done in this congregation. Amen. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord. I feel the anointing of God in this place. In Matthew 27:22, Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with this Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." We are here this morning, and I don't know how much we all need to be reminded of what Jesus came to do. Because sometimes our level of what our expectation is towards God can be at a high, and sometimes it can be at a low. But what Lighthouse Church of Independence always tries to do when we come here on a Sunday morning is to create an atmosphere of expectation. Every time you come in these walls, every time you walk and you sit down in these brown seats, you come here with a mindset that I came here for the will of God to be done in my life today, not next week. And I don't really care what he did last week, though I'm thankful for it, but today is a day where I need the Lord to impart his will in my life. So if I'm reminding you, then be reminded that number one, to do the will of the Father was the purpose of the man, Jesus Christ. He was on assignment from prophetic utterance that came out of the mouth of God in the very beginning. In John 6:38, we see Jesus speaking in the context of what John is receiving from him, and says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but on the will of him. Him that sent me." When I hear words like that, I'm saying, "Father, let your will be done in me today. I want the purpose and the will of God to unfold when I'm in his presence." Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." There is a young child here this morning that will be getting baptized pretty soon, when her parents show up in a few coming weeks. And you know what she says? "I understand, even though I'm young, I'm a sinner in need of a salvation." Can I tell you, I don't care how old you are this morning, I don't care how long you've been in the church, you better always recognize who Jesus is in your life. He is your Savior, and without him, you could do nothing. You can't even walk without the presence of God in your life. Mark 2:17 says, "When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." And oh, again, when you come in the house of God, God is monitoring what side of the fence that you are on. You better recognize that he's seeking to save that which was lost. He's finding someone who's hurting but yet hungry. Is there anybody here? You might be going through some hurts, but at the same time, you're hungry for the one who is a master physician that can touch any single need in your life. Well, I tell you this morning, he's looking for you to make yourself known. Are you someone that believes he can make a way when there is no way? He's looking to see, are you somebody that believes that he's the one that can turn it all around? He's looking for someone that says, "Lord, I believe that you are come to save my situation." He came to bring light to a dark world. In John 12:46, he says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And when you live in the world that we live in, darkness is all around you. Chaos and negativity is all around you. Fear, worry, and doubt and anxiety is all around you. And that's why when I come in the house of God, I say, "God, I get it. I understand that darkness is all around. So God, I want you to come and do your will and be a light unto me. Direct my path. Establish my goings." Is there anybody here that says, "Jesus, you are the light of the world"? He says, I come to be like you and to conquer for you. I don't know how many people believe that they are really conquerors through him that loved him. Because sometimes it seems a little confusing when you come on a Sunday morning and I see frowns on so many faces. I say, I don't know that we know who we really are. If you really know who you really were, there should be something inside of your spirit. And that's why we sang that song. If you don't know it, God, you give me joy. If you don't got joy, you better recognize who is in the house right now. If you don't have joy, you better recognize that he's the one that came to partake of flesh and blood. He took upon every sin of the world, but yet he says that through my death I will destroy the power of death, and that is the devil. I'm glad that I serve a victorious king that will defeat the thing that's trying to defeat me. 1 John 3:8. I'm getting excited. I'm going to get excited before this thing is over. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning for this purpose. Wake up. I got a lot going on, a lot been going on in my life, in your life, in the past year. And it don't matter when I read scriptures like this, because for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So when I come in the house of God, I'm saying, God, do your work, let your will be done. So that when I leave, I know I'm a conqueror. So that when I know I leave, I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, devil, greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world. I came to magnify a God who didn't only come for himself, but to come for you and I. I come to worship a God that I recognize. He didn't leave me in my sin. He didn't leave me in my state. I come to serve a God who said, I conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. He says, I come to destroy the works of the devil. But also the Bible says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. He has covered me. He has literally put me on assignment to preach the gospel to the poor. Are there any poor people in the house this morning? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I can't worship. I'm brokenhearted. You better worship, because he's the one to heal your broken heart. Hey, he says, I am the one that come to preach deliverance to them that are captives. I can't open my mouth. I can't say hallelujah. I can't do a dance. I can't give a praise. Can I tell you, the one that will give you a new hope is here right now to bring you out of your sin, to bring you out of your worry, to bring you out of your heaviness. Can I tell you, he's here to change and trade your sorrow and turn it into joy. I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm trying to reveal to you the purpose of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to stay in your depressed state. Watch the next part. Recovering of the sight of the blind. Because there was one place and time where all you could see was the favor of God on your life. It didn't matter what was going on. Your eyes were open when you came into the family of God and when you really got it. I'm not talking about church tradition. I'm not talking about hype. I'm talking about your true experience. Personal experience with the favor of God. I tell you once, I tell you again. I was 8 years old, little Rodney, and on my way home after I got filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus, I didn't know where it came from, but I remember the words that I said. I said, devil, you're in trouble now, because I understand that from this moment on, I'm victorious. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To
don't you understand that you need to have your eyes open again to what you got and what God did? You need to have your eyes recovered to see the power and the manifestation of God in your life. Which means, I don't care where you are now. The word says, I'm going to recover you. Because sometimes you can't see your way out to get out of the funk that you found yourself in. Oh, how I long for more of God. I just can't break out of myself. The power of Jesus says, I'm going to do it. But I won't force myself on anybody who won't respond. The will of God will be done unto those that want it. What did Jesus say to the man at the pool of Bethesda? Do you want to be made whole? I've been in church for a long time. I've been pastoring here 8 years. And I know sometimes you're among and preaching to a people that they're content with where they are. I'm just going to tell you that's not what I see in the Word of God. I got to just preach contrary to that devil spirit that has no hunger and no desire for what God says he wants to do. I got to tell you what he wants to do. And then you reach out and say, that's what I'm going to get. If that's what he has, I wish somebody would stand on their feet right now and lift your hands and say, give it to me, give it to me. Pour out your anointing. Pour out your will. You came for a purpose, and I'm going to get a hold of that purpose. He said, I'm going to send my spirit. John 14:16. And I will pray. Something breaks when Jesus says, I'm going to do it. That puts you and I to the Holy Ghost in a position of expectation. If he says he go pray, then I refuse to leave the same way I came in. How can I say I believe in him and he's praying for me and I leave broken, busted, and disgusted? That ain't the will of God. If I show up here one way, I guarantee when God prays for me, I'm going to leave different. I'm going to leave anointed. I'm going to leave appointed. I'm going to leave with a spiritual attitude that says, devil, you back up. Hey, somebody, hear what I'm saying this morning. I will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth. Now watch it. Pay attention. The spirit of truth. Have you ever told someone the truth the best way you could and they refuse to get it? Kids know what I'm talking about. When you're misunderstood and you're trying to communicate truth, you won't be believed. And Jesus, right now, is trying to communicate truth, trying to get somebody's attention, trying to get somebody to wake up that I'm talking to you. I'm trying to speak to you. I've seen what you've been through, what you've been going through, your frustration, your tears at night, your hopelessness, all the things you're dealing with. And I'm speaking a word of truth to you. And then it says something so tragic, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. He's showing us again two sides. It's only two sides. You gotta choose for yourself what side you are on. The person next to you can't decide what side you're going to be on. There's a side that will never receive me. There's a side that will never see me. There's a side that will never know me. But ye know him. And he's trying to tell you, he dwells in you. And he shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And Jesus answered and said unto this woman, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water, is anybody thirsty this morning? Has anybody stirred in your spirit this morning? The water that I shall give, he will never thirst. The water shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I can go on and on and on again about what Jesus came to do and what assignment that he's on. Oh, but that's not the question of what he came to do. That's not the question. The will of the Father is going to be done regardless of what anything else has to say about it. I tell you that time and time again, whether you're in or you're out, the will of God is going to happen. The question is not what God can do. The question is, what are we going to do with Jesus? In our text, we find wise men or magi who came to inquire of the king Herod, who is the one with the authority in the land during the birth of Jesus. But looking at the story, it wasn't like they just came randomly. They came because these men had read prophecies and scriptures. You have to understand, you don't come to God randomly. There has to be something stirring in your heart for what you've read, what you've studied, what you heard. And that when you begin to see signs of it about to unfold, you start to inquire that much more diligently. These weren't random wise people that randomly just showed up and just randomly said, is the Messiah here? There was something already stirring. If you're going to receive what God is going to do even in the next year, something has to be stirring in your spirit right now as I talk to you. Are you looking around? And if you are, something should be getting excited on the inside of you that leads you to get out of your own comfort zone and inquire what God's about to do. I feel the Holy Ghost here in this place. Holy Ghost, lead me right now in revelation. And I find it very interesting about the story and the wise man, that who was the one that actually gave the prophetic utterances that made them aware of it. And as I studied the scripture, it was none other than the false or the prophet for hire, Balaam. If you remember Balaam was the one that Balak hired in order to speak cursings against the children of God. But one thing I found about Balaam, what he recognized, that when you begin to have God's people that God commands a blessing on, not one thing you can speak against them will come out a curse after the Holy Ghost. What Balaam should have opened our eyes to understand, that if you are a part of the will of God and the purpose of God, that what God blesses, no man can curse. And so you might be going through things all throughout this year, but recognize it is always going to work out for your good, because you can't curse what God has blessed. Are you somebody who's blessed by God? Are you somebody that knows the hand of God is on your life? Then tell the devil, devil, you a liar. God's about to show up mightily in my life. So think about the prophecy that the wise men are reading was spoken from a person who was trying to curse the people of God. The very thing that led them to Bethlehem came out of the mouth of the one trying to curse them. Am I preaching too deep right now, or are you getting it right now? Because some things have happened to you in your past that have said that's a cursing. But in actuality, as you're trying to speak curses over you, Balaam said, He hath said, which heard words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High God. He's saying this while he's literally trying to curse the people of God. He saw a vision of the Almighty, and he fell into a trance. But having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. And so the prophetic word that came out of his mouth, the wise men way out east somewhere saw a star and said, that's the star of Balaam, that even though he tried to send a cursing, we're walking towards a blessing. Can I tell you this year, if you get your eyes on Jesus Christ, you're actually walking towards a blessing. I know there's bumps in the roads, I know there's mountains to cross over and valleys that are low, but can I tell somebody, keep on following the star, keep on following the Son of David. You're walking towards your blessing right now. You're walking towards the favor of God right now. I wish someone would clap their hands unto the Lord right now. Do you know right now you're walking in your purpose? No matter what the devil says. No matter what the devil's saying right now, you are literally walking into your destiny right now. Even though you think a curse has been put upon you, you can't curse the people of God. You can't curse those that are looking for a Savior. My Savior go show up. What did the three Hebrew boys say? But if not, I still ain't gonna bow, because my God go deliver me. And if he don't, I'm still not gonna bow. So we know he is here. We know his presence has been revealed to us. We know he has come for a purpose. He is born the King of the Jews and all that comes along with it. That he and who he is and what his purpose is for. We have seen his star, so we know this is real. So what are we then going to do with this Jesus? We are come, the wise men said, to worship him. If I see him, my only natural response is to worship him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Who is he? Christ the Lord. Watch this. When you get a revelation who he is in the natural, you will come and worship him. Genesis 28:10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba. He went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he waited there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place, and he used those stones for a pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and of God of Isaac. And the land wherein thou dwellest, I will give it to you and to thy seed. I'm giving you a certain level of expectation right now. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread above up to the west, and to the east, and the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed, all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And where you go, I'm with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you to this land. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of thee of. He's not just talking to Jacob right now. He's talking to you. I'm trying to bless you. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep. And we say, wake up. Wake up, Jacob. Surely the Lord is in. Come on. Point to it for yourself. Come on. Make it personal. He's saying, I'm awaking out of my sleep because I'm not going to get the revelation if I'm not understanding. I got to wake up. And he says, in this place. So he rose and he said, but the problem is I didn't know it. And so he was afraid. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. Do you know where you are right now? So he rose up. He took the same stones he made for pillows. He made an altar and he poured oil on the top of it. He says, I'm anointing this place. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God is with me and be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and the raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house as a level of expectation I have, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that thou wilt give me, God, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. What are you going to do with this Jesus? But what I found interesting is that not everyone who comes looking for Jesus is coming to worship him. The Bible says that after King Herod heard, he was disturbed. Can you believe there are some who get disturbed when someone talks about worship? Some people get angry when it said, raise your hands in the presence of the Lord. They may not say it out loud, but something in their spirit says, why do we got to do so much when we come to the house of God? Why can't you just sit there and let me be? Oh, Herod got upset when they said, let's go worship the Lord. Why? Herod was looking after his own agenda. I want to do it my own way. And those that are disturbed and they are irritated and they are annoyed, they are literally uncomfortable when it comes to talk about raising your hands and engaging in worship and coming down to an altar and bringing all of your energy and all of your attention on the one that came for a purpose. We don't need to do all that. Don't get me wrong. They're still looking for Jesus. They are still in the church houses. They still show up on a weekly basis. But they're not coming the same reason why the wise men came. They came in with their own agenda. They are still among those that are present. Watch this. The Bible says in Matthew 2 that Herod inquired of the priests. By nature of him inquiring of the priests, he wanted to know where this Jesus was. And they told him where Christ was to be born. Why couldn't you find that out yourself? Why do you need someone else to tell you where Jesus is? Why do you need someone else to tell you the Spirit of the Lord is in this place? Because if you're reaching out for yourself and you were seeking God for yourself and you've been calling God all week long, you would recognize he's already here. You don't need somebody up there pumping you, priming you, telling you the Holy Ghost is in this place. Come on, Herod. You don't need to call a priest. You need to be like the wise man. I already knew he was in the vicinity. I saw his star. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You got to engage yourself and say, I come to worship the Lord. I've come to get my attention on blessing his name. We see Herod wasn't searching for God for himself. He wanted someone else to be paying attention. Hey, priest, come over here. Let me hold you for a second. Where is this guy coming from? Who is this king? Do you need somebody else to usher you to the presence of God? Or can you get into the presence of God all by yourself? Don't let it be said, like it said here, that someone else is inquiring about the promises of God for you. What promises of God are you expecting for yourself? And then he lied to them about his intentions. Hey, when you find him, bring me word again so that I can also worship him. Go do all the hard, diligent work. You go pray. You go fast. You go. And when you find him, call me. When the Spirit of God is moving deeply and revival is happening, trust and believe this house is going to be filled up. When tragedy happens, ask yourself about 9/11 and how many houses of God were filled because they got in a place of fear and of torment. But can I tell somebody, are there wise men here right now and say, I know where he is for myself. I don't need your help to usher me into the presence of God. I got my own hunger. I got my own desire. I got my own thirst to worship him. I don't need you to inquire for me. We need some Holy Ghost people with some Holy Ghost attitude that say, I don't need nobody else to get me where I'm going. I got promises for myself, and ain't let you stop me from getting my promise. Ain't let you stop me from getting my blessing. Many say they come and worship him, but worship is the farthest thing from their mind. Herod had no desire to worship Jesus, though he used words like he was. But actions always speak louder than words. You can say, get up, let's go to church, but your actions will say, are you here to worship? Hear another parable, Jesus says. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it all round about. He digged a wine press in it. He built a tower in it. And he let it out to other husbandmen. And he went out to a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants. They beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto him likewise. But last of all, he sent him his son. And he said, there's no doubt in my mind, they'll reverence my son. They surely know they didn't get that by themselves. They surely know that all that they have was given to them by me. So surely when I come to get what belongs to me through my son, they surely will honor and reverence and respect my son. But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. This is the one that has the inheritance of all this possession. Come, let us kill him, not worship him, and we'll seize on his inheritance. Here, these people were given a great opportunity, and they were giving a great blessing to take care of this possession. But when it came time to honor the one that gave them the possession, they resisted. I want all the blessings of God, all the favor of God, but I don't want to honor him back. I want all my prayers answered. I want all the doors open. But when it comes time for me to reverence and honor him, we are not going to give what belongs to you, God. So they rebelled. They fought. They stoned. They killed. This is the heir. Let's come and kill him. Seize on his inheritance. We just want the stuff. We just want to be on the receiving end. We don't want to be on the giving end. What are we going to do with this Jesus? Some are going to worship. Some just want the blessings. My wife said something that I wrote down. Some people want God's possessions, but they don't want him to possess them. Matthew 2:11. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. I want you to lift your hands right now. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented. When they came in Jesus' presence, they didn't come with their hands out. They came with gifts. They came and they worshiped. They open their treasures. What treasures are you surrendering to your God? What treasures are you surrendering? They presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They made up in their mind that once I get in his presence, there's one thing on my mind. I'm coming to worship him. And be warned of God. Don't go back to Herod. Go a different way. So worship will lead you. Then worship will give you an audience with the king. And then worship will not put you in a position to get you in trouble. I say time and time again that when you leave the presence of God, you should be empowered. After the wise men left, they got a word to empower them on which way they should go. You're trying to say, church is not doing it for me. The question is, have you worshiped? Have you got in his presence? Because when you leave his presence, the angel says, now I'm going to lead you. Now I'm going to direct you. Now I'm going to protect you from things that you don't even know is coming your way. Is anybody so tired of going through Monday and you don't have any answers? I give you a solution. What would you do with Jesus? If your mind made up to worship the presence of God, you will leave this place with power and direction and favor. And no devil, ain't nothing you plotting against me. Go stop me from where I'm going. I've worshiped the Lord. I've been in his presence. And I got direction. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to make it. I'm going to win. I've been in the presence of God. In verse 16. Herod realized they left. So what does he do? Did he come to worship? No. He sent his army. Kill everybody. Every male child. 2 years and under. What are you going to do with Jesus? You're going to worship him or you're going to kill him? This was the first attempt on his life. But there were more attempts on his life. You may not worship him. But you then won't stop him from fulfilling what he wants to do. I know you won't worship him, Herod, but you ain't gonna kill him before it's his time. So you might make a decision, I refuse to worship him. You ain't gonna stop his plan. You might not worship him, but you ain't gonna stop him from getting glory in another direction. And he tried to send army to go ahead and kill him. But hey, Joseph got a dream, and Joseph heard a word. Go down to Egypt, because I know he came to die, but he go die when he laid down his life. Ain't nobody gonna kill him. Ain't nobody gonna stop him. What am I trying to say? God's will is gonna happen, so you might as well make up in your mind, I'm gonna be a worshiper. I'm going to be a praiser. I'm going to be somebody that lifts the name of Jesus up. And time again as I'm closing. Funny things happen. He got out of Bethlehem to Egypt. He goes back. He gets older, and I find Luke 4:28, and all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things about what we talked about earlier about preaching the gospel to the poor, they were filled with wrath. What are you upset about God healing? What are you upset about God delivering? God opening up blind? What are you upset about? But yet they were upset that the presence of God was unfolding. And they resisted the power of God in the house of God. And I read it. They rose up. They got a hold of him to thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill where the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Anybody watching will say, that's it for that guy. It's a crazy guy who says he's God. But how in the world do we even get a verse 30? They physically have him in his hands. They have wrath in their heart. They're doing everything they can to stop worship. But yet, he passed through the midst of them and went his way. You might not worship me, but you can't kill me. You might try to stop the momentum that God is trying to do. You might be a part of the ones that has to drag your feet to come in here and raise your hands, but at the end of the day, hallelujah, I'm so excited in this house. I'm excited for those that have the fire, that have the zeal, because you might look around and see we got a dead church, dead people dried up at the roots. Can I prophesy to you? It don't matter. God is still going to show up and show out. I don't care who's trying to kill the momentum. I don't care who's not on board. What I understand, you can't kill Jesus, so I'm going to keep on worshiping. I wish somebody would join with me right now and say, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be somebody that makes up in their mind, I ain't going to kill him. I'm going to worship him. Lift your hands right now all over this house. Something's going to break in your life today. What are you going to do with Jesus this morning? I tell you right now, if you're a worshiper, you're in a good place. If you're a worshiper, you're in the best place. If you're a worshiper, get ready, because God ain't going to be defeated. God is going to win. He's always going to get away. He's always going to get away. Don't you allow all the natural things that shows he's about to lose. He's about to get thrown out. You got circumstances in your life right now that it seems like you're defeated. Some way, somehow, he passed through the midst of it. I prophesy to somebody right now, you feel like the devil has you handcuffed. You feel like you're looking at your last moment, your last days. Your best days are behind you. Can I tell somebody right now in the Holy Ghost? You're about to pass through. You're about to come out of that thing. Lift your hands right now in the presence of God. God's about to heal somebody right now. God's about to change your mindset right now. God's about to get you out of the hardest place you've ever been in. God's going to loose your mind right now from the spirit of heaviness and tell you, I will make a way for a worshiper.